on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Is there any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well now, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. So good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Welcome to everybody over at Head On Radio Network and iTunes and all the various places around the internet where you listen to the program. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on this September 10th. The 11th tomorrow, September the 11th tomorrow will be, 7 years since that famous day? And we'll commemorate that day tomorrow, as we always do if we're on at that time. So, lots to talk about today. There's a buzz going on right now. Have you noticed, I don't know if you've been surfing around the internet, any of you, but there's some sort of a buzz going on that there's some sort of a big announcement coming up. I don't know what exactly, but some sort of huge political news coming up this afternoon. That's the buzz I'm getting. So I've even gotten a bunch of email about it. Stay tuned for huge news this afternoon of some kind. So we shall see. I don't know what it could be exactly, but we shall see. I don't know. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program. 866-546-5254. We're going to be all over the place today. Of course, we're going to talk some more about Sarah Palin. It seems that subject will not go away. It will not go away. And why should it? There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of news. I had the terrible experience of watching them again today. Yes, I did it in person. I saw the McCain-Palin duo passing out their fantastic lies again. I mean, we've had most of the networks, we've had most of the major newspapers all saying that this is pure obfuscation, that this Bridge to Nowhere thing. The fact is, she said thanks but no thanks to Congress after they told her that they wouldn't shell out the rest of the money for that bridge. That is when she said no thanks. It's kind of like saying I quit after the boss just fired you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, here they are today. They're in Virginia, I believe. The same old tired speech. The Democrats say they're going to fight for you. Well, there's really only one person in this race that's fought for you, and that's John McCain. Don't they have more than one speech? And if any of our right-wingers want to discuss that Bridge to Nowhere thing today, give me a call. 866-546-5254. It is unequivocally, absolutely, positively a flat-out lie that she told Congress, we don't want the Bridge to Nowhere. We'll build it ourselves. No, They wanted the money. They tried to get the money. And she was for the bridge. She was all for the bridge. She campaigned as saying that she was for the bridge. And then when she found out she couldn't get the money, saying, well, you know, I never really wanted it anyway. That's exactly what happened. And this business about the earmarks. Absolutely, positively, a flat-out lie. The deal about firing the chef, a flat-out lie. And as I mentioned yesterday, if they're going to lie about every little thing that they get up on the stage and say right now, are they going to try another George Bush on you some of these days and start a war by lying to you, which he did, trying to cover up with the fact that, well, we had faulty intelligence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. You believed what you wanted to believe. You were a liar to start out with. You lied us into war. You're still a liar. Your whole administration's been a lie, and you got people running to take your place who are flat-out liars and let the press letting them get away with it. I'm flabbergasted by it. They don't know how to do it any other way. You will not hear them talk about issues. They will not talk about issues. Oh, we're going to cut your taxes, and what else are we going to do? We're going to protect you, and we're going to cut your taxes. That's all you need to know. We're not saying anything else. And by the way, I'm not doing any more interviews except with Charlie Gibson because he's going to treat me really nice. Because he's got a reputation for lobbing softballs. She knows it. And so she will get the deferential treatment from the media that they ask for. And now we have a new ad out. I had it here somewhere to play for you. I don't know what I did with it. McCain's new ad saying that the Obama campaign has airdropped an army of lawyers into Alaska to dig dirt up on Sarah Palin. First of all, this has been categorically denied by the Obama campaign. It'd be easy to catch them if it were true. So I believe the Obama campaign says absolutely false. The DNC in Washington and the Democratic Party in Alaska say it is absolutely simply not true. And secondly, even if it were true, since when does the Republican Party think it's not fair to do opposition research? How they invented it, didn't they? All this came from a Wall Street Journal article by John Fund yesterday. You know, the guy who was dating mother and daughter at the same time without the ladies knowing about it until the daughter charged him with beating her. John Fund, that John Fund. Boy. And their little whining job they did today. I don't know if it's actually whining. They know it's not true, but they also know that they can get the media to sing their tune any time they want to. Would the media, would anybody make an issue out of this lipstick on a pig thing? I mean, the media is getting completely out of control. They're obsessing over this lipstick on a pig comment. I mean, McCain has used it too. When he was speaking of Hillary's health care plan, did the media accuse McCain of calling Hillary a pig? No. And then again, any reasonable person who is capable of independent thought would listen to what Obama said about putting lipstick on a pig, and he was talking about the policies of John McCain. He wasn't talking about Sarah Palin at all. He was talking about John McCain. Anybody would have recognized that. But then again, we're talking about a bunch of fools. We're talking about a bunch of political zombies who only hear what they want to hear. And I'm sure Hannity's passing around. They're all passing around today. Obama called Sarah Palin a pig. My God, it's descended to this. Name-calling. They will not talk about the issues. It is sickening to me. It really is. Now, McCain, they've jumped into the change thing, and they're gradually trying to morph that into reform. They know that they're moved in on Obama's territory with the change. So now they're gradually, they started out with change. McCain did. We're going to bring you change. No, we're going to bring you change. And then we're going to bring you Change and Reform. Now it's changing over to Reform. They're trying to make that look good. And, of course, we have this scandal. It's an absolute scandal in Alaska. We mentioned it yesterday. On August, I found the dates. On August 31st, the Alaskan General of the National Guard said Palin had no hand in decision-making as far as the National Guard on any national matters. And on September 30, he said it again. And then on September 5th, he completely changed his story, And on September 8th, he's promoted to Lieutenant General. That's in Alaska, not as far as the feds are concerned. That's the change you can believe in. Oh, yes. And I must admit, I am completely flummoxed over this Palin thing. I really am. I'm just, forgive me for stuttering on about it, but I don't know what to think. I thought I was an astute political observer, and I thought I had the American public pegged fairly well. But if all the polls I'm seeing, especially amongst white women, if all the polls I'm seeing are true, then I guess I have figured the American public to be far smarter all along than they really are. I really didn't think. I mean, you've heard me doubt the intelligence of the American people for a long time on a broad scale. You've heard me say that over and over again, and you've heard me use the word stupid. But if they're going to buy this, if they're going to buy this Palin story and all these lies they're telling, I'm afraid there's no hope. It's very troubling to me. It really is. I should take an extra blood pressure pill because I just can't get over what's going on. I've heard so many people. I've been in on conversations myself with people that are saying, well, we you know, it's good to have one of us. One of us. And I know we all pontificate on what should be done about this or that in our government. I know that some of us believe we could do a better job than our leaders. But is that what we need? One of us to be president? Do people really mean that? Do you really think we should elect someone we'd want to have a beer with? Haven't we already tried that nonsense? Does anyone really believe that the guy or gal down the street, the average person, would be capable of running the ship of state? I don't. I know it's a daunting task, and I think it's been proven that even some of our most intelligent citizens weren't up to the task. You look back through history, and by all accounts, Herbert Hoover wasn't a stupid man, and yet, as president, he fell flat on his face. Same thing for Bush 41. He's an intelligent guy. But presidential material? Uh-uh. Junior Bush? We don't even need to go there. But along comes this Sarah Magdalene woman from Alaska teaming up with St. John McCain, and the public goes crazy. Saying, she's what we need, an average person. She's one of us. Allow me to ask a simple question. You develop a brain tumor. You go to your doctor's office, and he refers you to a neurological specialist. And you ask your doctor, well, what about the guy? What do you have to say about him? And your doctor says about this neurological specialist, well, he's very average. You know, he's one of us. Are you going to accept that recommendation? I don't think so. You want the best. Hell, your neighbor might be really good with a carving knife, but I don't think you want him to operate on your brain. How about if you're running a company, you're looking for a new manager, and they have people recommended to you, and you look at their resume, and you find out that they're just average. Do you want them? No. And yes, I know we need some change, but are we going to get it by electing a third Bush administration led by a guy who finished almost last in his class at the Naval Academy, a guy who wouldn't even have wouldn't even have been considered for the Naval Academy hadn't it been for his father and his grandfather's status in the United States Navy. And I was looking at some medical charts. Actual facts here now. Let's look at some facts. Let's look at some cold, hard facts. These are facts. At John McCain's age, there's a slightly better than 10% chance that he, if he were elected, that he would die before the end of his first term. Better than a 10% chance. And if he should attain a second term, the chances are 27% he would die before that. Before that term is over. Those are just facts. And the question is, would you really, down deep in your heart, feel comfortable with Sarah Palin being the President of the United States, considering her very sparse governmental experience and considering her extremely controversial personal beliefs? Would you be comfortable with that? I think if you put politics aside, and no matter, and especially you Republicans, we saw those signs at your convention that said country first. If you would have put politics aside, and if you really meant country first, you'd have to say no to that idea. Most reasonable people would. John McCain has not put country first with this nomination. He and his people have figured politically that she'll help him attain the presidency. The choice of Sarah Palin's got nothing whatsoever to do with country first. Give us a call. We'll be happy to hear from you today. 866-546-5254.
Of the past, John McCain. His attacks on Barack Obama, not true, false, baloney, the low road, baseless. John McCain, same old politics, same failed policies. Barack Obama supports a $1,000 middle class tax cut, an energy plan that takes on oil companies, develops alternative fuels, and breaks the grip of foreign oil. That's change we can believe in.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
I was born in a small town, and I live in a small town. Proud to die in a small town, oh, the small communities. And all my friends, it's a small town. My parents live in the same small town. My job is a small town, provides a little opportunity. Educated in a small town, taught to fear Jesus in a small town. Used to daydream in that small town, another boring romantic, that's me. But I've seen it all in a small town, and myself all in a small town. Had an L.A. doll and brought her to this small town. That small town, just like me. Oh, I cannot forget from where it is that I come from. Cannot forget the people who really love me. Well, I can be myself here in this small town, and people let me be just what I want to be. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got nothing against a big town. Still hayseed enough to say, look who's in the big town. But my bed is in a small town. Oh, and that's good enough for me. Well, I was born in a small town. And I can breathe in a small town. Gonna die in a small town. Oh, and that's probably where they'll bury me. Well, I was born in a small town. And I live in a small town. Probably die in a small town. Oh, and that's just where I wanna be. Oh,
well, hey, we're beginning to find out why we don't have an energy program in this country. I guess we're getting to find out. Government officials handling this just across the wire a few minutes ago. Government officials handling billions of dollars in oil royalties engaged in illicit sex with employees of energy companies they were dealing with and received numerous gifts from them, federal investigators said Wednesday. The alleged transgressions involved 13 Interior Department employees in Denver and Washington, and their alleged improprieties include rigging contracts, working part-time as private oil consultants, and having sexual relationships with and accepting golf and ski trips and dinners from oil company employees, according to three reports released Wednesday by the Interior Department's Inspector General. The investigations reveal a culture of substance abuse and promiscuity by a small group of individuals, wholly lacking in acceptance of or adherence to government ethical standards. The reports describe a fraternity house atmosphere inside the Denver Minerals Management Service office responsible for marketing the oil and gas that energy companies barter to the government instead of making cash royalty payments for drilling on federal lands. The government received $4.3 billion in such royalty in kind payments last year. The oil is then resold to energy companies or put in the nation's emergency stockpile. Well, 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 well. Naughty people. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, guys. This is John from Fort Myers.
Hi, John.
Hi. Well, you know, if Sarah Palin was in office, she would be a watchdog over that sort of thing, and it just wouldn't happen.
That's true.
I was just wanted to talk about this presidential election cycle that seems to repeat itself every 4 years. There's this period right after the presumptive nominee is in the Democratic Party is identified up through the convention and shortly afterward, where idealism and principles seem to soar, and you almost feel like it's going to be the end of the old politics, and then the Republicans come in with their campaign of half-truths and innuendos, and all of that is undone, and people buy into it. I mean, it's very disappointing to see people buy into this stuff very easily, but with people like Frank Lutz showing Republicans how they can accomplish more in a two-word phrase than you can in a 10-paragraph dissertation on the other side of the issue, I mean, that's unfortunately, that's how things work out. But if, it, in fact, John McCain and Sarah Palin were on the Democratic ticket, I guarantee you this is what you would be hearing today. First of all, you'd be hearing the word songbird all over the place, referring to John McCain's time, because that rumor is out there anyway, but it would be blaring. In fact, most people wouldn't be able to think of the name John McCain without the name songbird. They would besmirch his military record. They would make sure that we would see him not as a hero, but as some sort of guy who screwed up. And then once he was put in the Hanoi Hilton, had informed on all of his friends. In other words, he would have been undone.
Oh, yeah.
His whole story would have been undone. And Sarah Palin, if she were on the Democratic side, she would be a bad mommy. And, you know, whatever other pejoratives they could attach to her, as long as they could do it in a simple idea of no more than two or three words.
Now, John, do you attribute that to the fact that the Republicans are so clever, or that the media is so willing to go along with them on everything they do?
Both. I would say both. Absolutely both. Well, I mean, let's face it. You and I have both been around long enough, and you've been involved with media. You can remember when news divisions were a loss centers. I mean, it was like the networks give back to the American people for using their airwaves, and they actually did have news operations that were independent of the corporate heads. Well, now they're subservient to the corporate heads, and if a news story looks like it's going to be bad for business, then it doesn't run, or it gets altered so that the more disturbing parts of it are left out. And this is another thing. In my lifetime, I've watched this Republican whine machine going on in every election since Nixon. The media doesn't like us. They like you more. They don't like us. They don't, you know, that griping and whining and belly aching. And they keep, even now that the corporate media has pretty much become, you know, come neutered, they're still doing that whining. It's still a fallback position for them.
It's the victimhood. They always want to maintain that they're the victims. It's like the you remember the old Garn and the old R Gang comedies. Butch, he went around beating up everybody in the neighborhood, but it's like he's the Republicans, but they want to be. They want to be seen as the victim. Oh, poor us.
Well, and that's what they're doing with Sarah Palin. They're setting her up as the victim. Now, here's what I like to think that happened in the last day, and I hope I'm right. I may not be right, but Barack Obama is no fool. And Barack Obama, if we learned anything from him, is that he learns on the job, and he learns as he goes along. I mean, this is a guy for whom education is never going to stop. Now, I believe he knew what he was doing when he made that comment yesterday. And it was not the one about the pig and the putting lipstick on the pig. And, of course, it was not directed at Sarah Palin. But he knew that they would pick up on it. He knew that they would run with it. He knew that they would, as you say, go to this victimhood stance again, which gave him an opportunity to flash back today, I thought very effectively, and first of all, there was no apology there. It was, you know, I was talking about the John McCain and the fact that you're going to get more of the same with McCain, and it's time for these lies and half-truths to stop. Enough. And he encapsulated his whole, in fact, even the news people picked up on it. He worked them pretty good. Enough became the banner for his response today. And I think it resonated. I think it resonated, certainly, at least to the point where the news people on the network picked it up.
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, it's to the point where it's silly, and yet the media just goes right along with it. Any credible journalist, any thinking person, any reasonable person yesterday that heard that knew he wasn't saying.
Of course.
I mean, you had to know that. And yet one of my right-wing listeners just said, well, you know, he called Sarah a pig. You hear what you want to hear, evidently, and that's, oh, it's just very, very difficult.
Well, of course, on the other side of the coin, there are a number of Democrats out there who have been writing your emails and calling into liberal or progressive talk radio shows or blogs and reporting that there's a push-pull out there now. I couldn't tell you the organization or the purported organization, but the scenario goes like this. Eventually the caller will be asked who he or she is going to vote for in November. If they say Obama, then the question follows, how would you feel if you knew that Barack Obama was a practicing Muslim? And, of course, you know, the idea, of course, is not to get an answer. The idea is to plant the plant the notion in the caller's brain. So, that you know, they're doing this, you know, they know that there's some polls that say as many as 12% of Americans believe that Barack Obama is a Muslim. And so working from that basis, trying to get that idea out there.
And yet that same 12% would probably also repeat to you what a nasty guy that Reverend Wright was, that where Obama went
to
church.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. How do you square those two those two rumors?
Yeah.
You don't. But see, the thing is, it doesn't have to meet up in logic. No. Logic doesn't really have to have anything to do about it. The idea, and Frank Lutz, for all of his, I mean, for all of the harm that he's done, you've got to give him points for his mastery of understanding how to manipulate language. I mean, he's been teaching the Republicans for years how to boil everything down into short phrases, short ideas, and get them out there. I mean, we know Kerry flip-flop. I mean, you can hardly say John Kerry without flip-flop coming up. And that was directly as a result of, you could apply the same thing to John McCain. I mean, obviously, with and in a more pronounced way, because John McCain has changed his position on a number of issues over the years. But the whole idea is that Barack Obama, he understands. I think I really do. I'm optimistic enough to think. I mean, he's Barack Obama is a young dog, and he is able to learn new tricks along the way. And I think he's studied his own responses enough to know that he's getting a little bit too deliberative, a little bit too, you know, thinking too long before he responds to something, and looking for the nuance in the idea behind his response rather than going for the jugular and the short, digestible phrase that's going to end up being repeated by the news media and is going to end up implanted in everybody's brain when it comes to one issue or another. And I think he really is starting to catch on as far as, you know, in responding. I mean, his entire organization, I can't say the same for them. I don't know. It's like somebody said, it's like aircraft carrier trying to turn around. You know, it's going to take a while for this to happen. But Barack Obama seems, from where I'm sitting, he seems to start, he's starting to understand how to do that and how to do that fairly effectively. And to get the attention off of Sarah Palin and back onto the issues, if possible. But like Rick Davis from McCain's campaign said, this is not going to be about issues. It's going to be about personality.
Yeah, isn't that
something? What a loss for all of us if that's true.
Oh, yes. it's very disconcerting. I think you're right. I think Obama is starting to get it. I don't know how he's going to force them to talk issues when they really don't have any issues to talk. If they do talk issues, they're going to be talking Bush and Reaganomics. And how do you explain that this time of year for them? I don't know. I don't. They can't talk about issues. They just can't.
And have you ever heard of a presidential campaign putting a candidate out there, whether it's the president or VP, and saying, we're only going to allow interviews if you are respectful and deferential?
Deferential.
I mean, respectful, yeah, sure. You always want to be respectful. But deferential? I mean, deferential to me means if you ask her a question and she says, I don't want to answer that, you say, okay, we'll go on to the next question.
Yeah, just be a nice suck-up, do what you're told, and don't ask any questions we don't like, and... You know, frankly, when I first heard him talking about deferential, if I were Sarah Palin, I would have been embarrassed by that. I really would. It makes her sound like an amateur, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, I guess there's a lot of people that want her to be a complete amateur. I don't, but I would have been embarrassed had one of my handlers said something like that. Well, you know, you've got to treat him or her with you may be deferential.
Oh, yeah.
Going, hey, I'll take care of myself, Buster.
Well, it is a master stroke in that it got the attention away from John McCain, away from his policies, away from the similarity between his and it became down to war of personalities and, like you say, victimhood. How dare you attack this woman? How dare you question anything about her? You know, and if anything could even be vaguely referred to as the sexist, then we're going to jump all over that, like the comment from Obama yesterday. I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous on its face, and I mean, people who are making the accusations know it is. But that's what this campaign is going to be about for them. It's going to be, and the thing is, it's another thing. I am eternally optimistic, although I see these patterns repeating themselves all the time. But I do believe that this star has soared as far as it can, because there's only so high you can run on being fueled by BS. Pretty soon, you've got to. I mean, Sarah Palin and John McCain have to be put in forms where they're asked certain questions and their answers are compared to Barack Obama's. And I'm not talking about the Saddleback Church thing, which is a rigged deal any way you look at it. I mean, but somewhere where sincere journalists are asking sincere questions, and I hope that they're not so prostituted, the people running these things, by the time the debates get there, that they haven't, you know, decided to go softball on McCain and Taylor.
Tell me a journalist, John, that you would want to do that.
Amy Goodman.
Ah, very good.
They never let her within 10 miles of the place.
Well, we found that out recently.
they would get the rifles with the scopes on if they saw her coming around.
Yeah, she didn't have such good luck up at Minneapolis.
No, she didn't, but I'll tell you, she had a story to tell that I wish more people would have heard about how they were setting up security.
All right, let me be really mean to you here then and say let's make this somebody of note, somebody that everybody in a household word that everybody in the country knows is a journalist. Who would it be?
That's a good question.
You know, John, I have to admit to you, and I feel terrible saying this, I really do, but it's what it's come to. I can't think of one on either side.
Boy, I know you won't agree with this because I've listened to your show enough to know you're not a real big fan of this guy. But I do think that in some way, Chris Matthews might be, although he's been a John McCain worshiper for years and has made no secret of that. Somehow, I believe with the two candidates in front of him, and he does come from a Democratic background.
Well, I see. I wouldn't agree with that, but maybe not for the reason you think. I'm not a big fan of Chris Matthews, but I think possibly he would not be fair to the Republican candidate. That's probably different than what you thought I would say, but
it is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Well, the whole MSNBC team, I've kind of discounted them. They're all talk about personality driven. I watched their coverage of the Democratic campaign, and it seemed like the MSNBC thrust was to put their personalities out there rather than give you the substance of what was happening at the convention itself.
Oh, yeah.
And they overlooked a lot of important speeches. And you really had to go to C-SPAN, finally, to see the gavel-to-gavel coverage. And I don't know. I guess that would be the closest that I could think of. But everyone I can think of, you know, there are potential problems there. I mean, Keith Olbermann would just be emoting too far in one direction for my taste.
I'm just trying to think of some guy who I have a lot of trust in that I would say, okay, he's not biased either way. He's going to give me the straight dope here. And you know, I'm thinking back to Huntley, Brinkley, and maybe even Walter Cronkite and
right.
those kind of people, and that I could watch and trust them, you know? Just Don't be biased for my guy. Don't be biased for the other guy. Just be a journalist. And
right.
I just can't come up with one. And that's really a shame.
Yeah, I mean, I would have said John Chancellor, except in 1968, the security at the Republican convention, they pretty much locked him in a room for a while.
Yeah.
Until the people at NBC called and got him on spot. So that would have killed his objectivity. You're right. I mean, it's a problem. because the, you know, they're all corporate creatures now.
I'll give you a name that I think he's long gone, but Eric Severide.
Yeah.
Could have said, Eric, here, cover this debate and ask both sides questions and be fair, and you would just know doggone well it would be fair. But I
right. Well, he was part of the old standard at CBS with Edward R. Murrow. Well, see, now the Murrow's, that was a whole different era and a whole different ethos about journalism, you know. And you looked at the faces of some of those guys, and they weren't that pretty. But boy, they knew what they were talking about.
They
did their background check, and they asked people questions that went to the heart of the issue. And they were respectful. They just weren't deferential. That was the thing about them.
Oh, you know, you just touched upon a subject. They weren't that pretty. You know, not a one of them would be on the air today.
No.
And women. I don't know if you agree. I don't know if you remember. But the greatest female news person that I have ever seen that I respected immensely was Linda Ellerbe.
Linda Ellerbe from NBC, yes.
She was fantastic. And yet, she just wasn't good looking enough to be on TV anymore, and what a shame that is for all these people. You got to be cutesy, you got to be really handsome, and have your hair done right.
Well, I call them the Twinkies. You know, on all of the cable news networks, especially during the day when the viewership goes down, they throw the Twinkies out there, and they all have them. I mean, Fox has got probably more of them than in any of the others, but all the networks have them. Well, there's a woman on CNN I kind of like, and she definitely would not show up in the pages of Vogue. Candy Crowley, you're probably across her.
Yeah, Candy.
One thing I like about her is she talked about during Bush's administration, she talked about those Republicans who still held to traditional conservative values. She called them the Republican wing of the Republican Party. Yeah, right on. Well, where did they go? Where'd they all disappear to?
You're right. She's in that mode. She is. She and Linda Ellerbe could have worked side by side. You're right. I'm trying to think. Gwen Ifill from not C-SPAN, but PBS. She would probably fit in with that group as well. But, yeah, you're right. CNN's got their share of little cutesies. They've also got the gal that went to school with, I'm trying to think. Oh, can't think of her name. Christiane Amanpour. Excellent. Just excellent. But, again, she's probably too smart to be on the nightly news every night. She's a great reporter and very, very honest and very respected. Go ahead.
When it comes to reporters, now I can't name any of the names for it because I don't have them on the tip of my tongue, but there are a group of reporters, and most of them come from other countries, and a lot of them are women. And one day I hope that their story is told. I know there were a couple of women from Australia. There was a woman from one of the countries in the Mideast. They went over to Iraq, and a lot of them are doing reports. I mean, back in the days when things were really bad over there, a lot of them were actually living and camping at their own peril out in the red zone to get out. And there was a number of men, too. And I hope that one day the story of these journalists that weren't standing on the hotel balconies in the green zone and filing their reports, who were actually going out and putting themselves in danger to find out, know, what really happened after this American airstrike, or what really happened in this village. And we don't get that kind of news over here.
No.
BBC gets, picks up some of it, but we don't get that kind of news over here. And I hope the stories of these people are told, and that their reports are preserved for the ages so that we can find out really what did go on in that country over the past 5 years.
Well, just like this recent apparent travesty that took place, this bombing in Afghanistan that killed all these people, we have to rely on the word of Oliver North. That's who the Pentagon is putting up here now as their expert to deny that happened. Where are the real journalists? Oliver North, come on. We know.
Oliver North, yeah, there's a guy with a dark, dismal history. First, surfacing back in Desert One, the failed attempt to get the hostages out of Tehran, and when the helicopters crashed into each other and it was just a mess and it never got off the ground. One of the people who was on the ground and in the senior staff directing this operation, none other than Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, USMC. I mean, he's been all sorts of places.
Where he sure has, hasn't he?
Things have gone very, very wrong. I don't know any more than that. So it's all speculation after that. I just know that he's not a journalist, and he's certainly not objective.
No, not at all. So I just found it troubling that the Pentagon is putting him forth as the expert, the credible expert on this apparent terrible bombing accident. I'm sure it was an accident in Afghanistan, but let's just have the truth, just tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But, we painted a terrible story for the media here, haven't we?
Yeah.
They wouldn't like to hear what you and I had to say much.
They're dealing with the public with no memory. There's no collective memory among us about what journalism used to be. And I don't mean to paint like it was some great gold standard. I mean, journalists made a lot of mistakes along the way. But I couldn't see CBS Today having somebody like Daniel Schorr on its staff.
No.
Of course, he didn't last on their staff very long after the Watergate thing. I couldn't see, Greg Palast, who reports on America for the BBC. No network. It's not even no network could hire him. They won't even take his dispatches.
No.
They don't want to hear from this guy. And, he's been reporting for the last year and a half on the Vulture Fund that are coming in, Bush's cronies, that are coming in and snapping up these, before the International Monetary Fund can come in and get debt relief for these third world countries, these funds come in and they buy up the loans at a discount before they go out for IMF debt relief. And then they end up suing the government, these poor third world countries, for the full amount of the loan. And the different courts and international courts in which they're heard, they have to go along with it. And they're helping just to further impoverish these countries who were just on the edge of debt relief. And it's and he's been railing on this since early in 2007.
You must also add that this was by design, not by accident, that this happened. This whole system was designed to be this way, and the vulture funds are taking advantage of it and so forth. I completely agree. If Greg says it, take it to the bank. He's a terrific journalist, but I guess there's such a thing as being too credible, being too in your face with journalism, and that's what he is. I mean, he's right there with it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you can't sell soap quite as well if you're doing stories on vulture funds as you can on Britney's latest escapades or whatever. I mean, could you imagine Jed Huntley and David Brinkley talking about some starlet to the degree that news anchors are doing it today? They're part of the profit picture.
Oh, a guy like Cronkite would have called William Paley and said, wait a minute, wait just a minute. I am not doing a story on this bimbo having a drug addiction. I'm not going to do it. I mean, and William Paley said, well, okay, all right.
And that points up another thing. See, the landlord was accessible and on site back then when you had Paley owning CBS, but now they're all corporate owned, with GE and Disney and all that. So they're all absentee landlords now. So they're not gonna be available to make those kinds of course corrections when the need for it comes up. If the corporate head goes to the news division guys and we want you to stick more entertainment news in your newscast. And more entertainment news will be in the newscast, and there's nowhere to go other than resigning in protest. That's about the only thing left for any of these people to do.
Exactly. exactly right. I won't even watch it anymore. I will not watch the evening news anymore. It just I know what it is, and I'm just not interested. We have to all be responsible for finding our news today that where we think it's credible, where we learn it's credible, and go with it rather than what they're trying to pawn off on us as real news. It's a shame.
It's coming back to us in dribs and drabs, but it's like somebody says it's the news that the real news that's coming back to us. It's not a major project. It's coming from 1,000 garages, and a lot of small media. I mean, you have Link TV now in this country that a lot of people don't get, but enough of them do where they can see Amy Goodman and Democracy Now, and they can see Greg Palast, and they can see the guy that wrote the book on Blackwater.
Mm-hmm.
They can see people like that, and they can hear their stories. And then of course in all the misinformation that comes off the internet, there is some actually very good information that comes if you want to look for it. But as far as the media that we're being spoon-fed, I think it's seeing its last days. Last gasp of credibility.
Well, I think you're right, and the internet, warts and all, with all the misinformation that there is, it's also the best source for information that you can find. And I saw a video somebody sent me today of this Glenn Beck's program last evening, and his point was that you can't believe anything there is on the internet. Well, I personally can't believe anything I see on the Glenn Beck show. But I mean, this guy, this clown, saying that. But in order to prove his point that you couldn't believe anything you saw on the internet, he invited this woman on from Fact Check, and said, "Well, let's just go through a list of things here that we find on the internet, and several of the issues, the woman in Fact Check said were absolutely true," and Beck had her on to dispel these, what he called, rumors, and it turned out that they were true. So here we have Glenn Beck trying to prove that the internet's all wrong, and in fact, he was wrong on several of these issues, completely wrong. So
I'm wondering how his handlers even exposed him to that degree. I mean, these guys are usually so well insulated and protected from verification.
Oh yeah. He said, here this woman is from the factcheck.org, and said, we're going to go through some of these issues. First of all, let me say this one. And so the woman, no, that's true. And
you know, a memo from his show went out to everybody. Never have anybody from factcheck.org on the show again.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of funny. I really enjoyed it. I didn't understand why anybody would send me a video of Glenn Beck, because I really detest the guy. But it was... He really had it put in his face. He really did.
Well, there was a moment like that very recently on the Laura Ingraham radio show when she was covering the Democratic convention. And she was going to interview this Catholic priest who was the head of an organization, the name of which I cannot remember. But his charge was to go and talk to the members of the Democratic Party and to promote the whole pro-life issue. Especially for among those who profess to be Roman Catholic. So she booked him, to give her all of the salacious gossip from his experiences at the Democratic convention. Well, she got a complete surprise, and I happened to be listening to it this evening, the evening that it was on, and the priest came back and he said, "Well, it's been a mixed review." But he said, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he said, "But I've got to admit that I've had as much frustration with the Republican Party." He said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well," he said, "when I say we're pro-life, I mean it from conception to the grave." And he said, "So many of the Republicans that are out there will talk about pro-life issues, and they'll talk about it on the stump, and then privately tell you that there's no way that they can do a reversal." And he said, "That kind of insincerity isn't going to be good to our cause." And he said, "Quite frankly, if I were the unborn, and it was a Republican world, I think I'd want to stay unborn, because they're going to love me until the moment I come out of the womb." And she went ballistic on this guy.
Oh, I wish I'd have heard that.
This was obviously a surprise to her that this Catholic priest was going to was going to come back at her with this stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, this is monumental. I tried to go back and see if I could find an archive of it on the web, but I couldn't find any archives of her shows. But
oh, yeah, good. That would be good. That would be good. She wouldn't take kindly to that. Not at all.
Yeah, it was fun to listen to her go ballistic.
And she can do it too.
Yes, she can.
Is she back on her normal time here in Fort Myers now, or is that Beck guy still on in the morning?
I think he's on in the mornings now. I think.
Okay.
I think she's on in one of the evenings.
All right.
I think maybe where Mark Levin used to be.
All right.
I'm right on that, but
we tell our national listeners
he's back on the air here.
We let all of our national listeners know that we start off with a rabid right wing local person in the morning. We go from that to Glenn Beck. We go from that to Limbaugh, to Hannity, to Mark Levin, to Laura Ingraham, to if I mentioned them all.
we have all sorts of view here, right wing and Republican.
Yes. We do. We do. We've got them all.
Yeah.
John, thanks so much for calling in today.
Guy. Thanks for having me.
Any time. I always enjoy meeting up with you. I know John and his wife, and they're nice people. And we don't get as many local people call in as I'd like. And it's a real treat to hear from you.
All right. Thank you, Guy.
Thank you. Yes, John from Fort Myers. Always have had a good relationship with him, and good to know that he had time today to call in. Usually he doesn't during this time of day. In fact, that's probably only the second or third time he's ever called, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't keep track of it, but good to hear from him. I very much enjoy hearing from the locals. We're like we all kind of cling together in this area. If we find out somebody's a Democrat, we go, ooh, we cling, because we're just such rare animals in this area. Oh, yes. 866-546-5254. We've got news coming up in just a couple of minutes. I'm still waiting. I guess the big, huge story that was going to be announced, that must be it with the Interior Department employees accused. I see there is a couple other things on the internet that I'm going to try and shake out here during this break that we have. I'm reading a couple of them now. That's not it. And what I'm talking about, I don't want to sound crazy here. I heard a couple of huge internet rumors before I went on the air today, and I don't like to talk about them if they're not true. I'll mention later what they were, but of course in the context that they're not true and haven't been proven true anyway, that's exactly what they are, rumors. That's what we like to do on this program. We don't do like Rush Limbaugh and bring B1 Bob Dornan on the show and said, we've got information that Hillary Clinton's people killed Vince Foster and dragged him out into the park. We don't do that sort of thing on this show. And yes, that is a fact. He actually did that some time ago. So anyway, we're going to go to news coming up at the top of the hour. Stay tuned and we'll be back.
Listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers can notch another win for workers on their tomato buckets. On Tuesday, the coalition announced Whole Foods Market had signed onto the coalition's penny per pound program, where major food purchasers would pay an extra penny for Florida-grown tomatoes. The idea is that those extra pennies would be passed on to the tomato pickers. In a joint statement with the coalition, Whole Foods Global Produce Coordinator Karen Christensen said the company made the decision after evaluating the situation in Florida. The plan fits with the company's core values. The coalition has had multiple successes in applying pressure on tomato purchasers. Both Taco Bell and McDonald's have signed agreements similar to the one forged with Whole Foods. Iowa's agri-processors has been slammed with 9,311 charges of labor law violations. Iowa's Attorney General Tom Miller filed the criminal charges against the company's owner and four managers. According to the affidavit filed in court on Tuesday, all of the named individual defendants possessed shared knowledge that agri-processors employed undocumented aliens. It was likewise shared knowledge among the defendants that many of those workers were minors. 32 workers were under the age of 18, and 7 were under the age of 16. The document also alleges that the defendants encouraged workers to file false identification. Each violation carries a punishment of up to 30 days in jail and fines ranging from $65 to $625. The Pottsville, Iowa plant is the leading kosher meat packing plant in the country and was raided on May 12th. The plant managers are scheduled to appear in court today. More layoffs for Ford and GM, but this time the job cuts are coming from across the pond. Overall, 1,900 workers are likely to be let go by the two companies' plants in Spain. Ford says it plans to temporarily lay off between 1,000 and 1,200 workers due to anemic demand. GM plans to slash 600 jobs. Spain has seen a drop in new car registrations of 21% over the first 8 months of 2008. Here is today's economic report. The workplace environment is improving for gay workers, but there is still a great deal of work to be done. A new report from the Human Rights Campaign Foundation found that out of 583 businesses rated, 259 received a perfect score for the treatment of lesbian, gay, or bisexual employees or consumers. Those companies have implemented policies that are diverse and inclusive and also provide domestic partner benefits. In 2007, only 195 businesses achieved the perfect score.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? In my creation! Fly!
This was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. One.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
God bless America.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you.
half what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome. Welcome to the Guy James Show. All you progressives, all of you liberals, all of you Democrats, and all of you wing nuts too. Welcome to the program. Glad to have all of you along with us, all of you wing nuts. Maybe you will learn something, but then again, I kind of doubt it, okay? I think we have seen over the past few years that it is impossible to change any of their minds once made up that the grand old party, the greedy old party, is the thing for them. Many are just single-issue voters. I find that so incredible in this modern world we live in. I don't care what you say about old times and all that. This is the modern world, and there are adjustments made now and then as this world gets older, and many people and the neocons have chosen not to adapt to the new world. They've chosen to stay in the Stone Age. So we have many one-issue voters. It seems to me the biggest block of voters are the pro-life group. How that could be the one issue where you vote for the leadership of a country completely baffles me. I'm pro-choice. Would I vote against a president that was pro-life if I really thought he was good and all the other? Well, of course I would. I'm just not a one-issue voter, so I just can't identify with that. I really can't. 866-546-5254. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I know you're getting tired of my voice.
No.
Anyway, one thing I want to say, I think there's something deeply embedded into American news where it almost has to be biased in either direction.
Why is that?
Because of the profit motive.
Oh.
And because of this, because it's like the old saying, you know, no news is good news.
Mm-hmm.
Can you picture watching a news program in a country like Denmark? It is as boring as watching paint dry. Literally.
I hadn't thought about it. I've
trust me, I've been to a few of those kind of countries, and the local news there is as boring. What they tend to talk about is like how a deer gets caught in a salmon trap, and a bunch of people went to pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
Where it starts to get more familiar and more American mindset is when they go into international news and they start talking about the wars of the third world and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know what it is with the American people. Obviously, they're showing more and more they're willing to settle for less news and more fluff. I don't want any fluff with my news. If I wanted to watch a fluff show, I'd watch a fluff show. But and there's, God knows there's plenty of those on.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, it's like even if you go to like a country, even a country, let's say like, I don't know, Mexico or wherever, where there is a lot of crime, the newscast is still, even on the local level, still pretty dull and boring.
Hmm.
It's only in the United States you see all this flash and graphics pop up and little animation and all that stuff.
Well, the most boring newscast I ever saw was here in this country, and I was on a motorcycle trip, and I was staying overnight in Minot, North Dakota. And I will never forget this, because this has been a long, long time ago. Here's the anchor man standing in front of a you know, like a blue cloth sheet that somebody's put as a backdrop, and he was giving the local news, and he was had his shirt sleeves rolled up and as unprofessional as anything I've ever seen. I'll never forget that one night that I spent in Minot, North Dakota. Interesting place. That's all I have to say about Minot, North Dakota.
Well, there's really nothing much to say about the Air Force Base.
Yeah, I don't want to lose all my Minot, North Dakota listeners, so I just shut up about it.
I'm
sure there are legions of them, right? Ah, yes. Missile silos all over the place up in that area, and the Air Force Base. That's Minot.
You know, it's like I do want people to think about it, because even like people who we would tend to agree with, like Chief Oberman, if there was deep down, you know, he's reveling in all this negativity that's going on in the political arena.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, as they say, if it bleeds, it leads, and that's they all love that. They don't like these calm days when there's when they'd have to report regular news.
So you know, it's like me personally, I'm learning to become skeptical of any journalist.
Yeah.
And I think the American people really need to look into that. Yes, I tend to like more what Keith Olbermann has to say, but he's making just as much money as, let's say, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, probably not as much as O'Reilly, but he's doing all right for himself.
Exactly, you know. He doesn't have to worry about where his next meal is coming from.
No, certainly not. None of those boys do. They all make decent money.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just something, you know, I wanted to throw out there, that there is a profit motive in American, an extreme profit motive.
Well, that's, unfortunately.
And unless, you know, we put some real teeth into SCC, it's always going to be that way.
Right. And it probably, most likely, will always be that way from now on, because whichever political party sees the advantage in having it their way will want to leave it alone. You know, they're talking about, the Democrats have mentioned, well, we'll get rid of the fairness doctrine. No, they won't. They won't get rid of the fairness doctrine. Of course, the leadership of the party would never get rid of it if they found out that they could use the FCC to their advantage instead of the Republicans using it to their advantage. You know, we have to remember we're talking about politicians here. So.
Oh, yeah, and politicians who want money.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Kevin, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you again.
Bye now.
Bye.
Wonder what will happen. Will the Democrats, and Nancy Pelosi has mentioned the fairness doctrine? It's not going to go anywhere. Don't even think about it. It's not the fairness doctrine here to stay. If they ever, I think I'd drop over from. Well, I would. I would just drop over. I wouldn't be able to believe it. Have you thought about, and I've given this a lot of thought, and I'm partisan. I mean, you know that. I'm very much the Democrat. I'm very much the liberal, and shall always remain so. I mean, there's no question of how I believe about the basic platforms and tenets of both parties. I believe in the Democratic Party basic philosophy, and always have, always will. There'll be no changing that. I don't see how one does change. Now, yes, I'm unhappy with the Democratic Party right now. There are a lot of things that we're not doing to honor the past of the Democratic Party and the basic tenets and policies of the Democrats. But I've been, for a long time now, you've heard me wail away about people calling themselves progressives and all that, and I don't mean to be mean about it to anybody, and I don't mean to disparage anybody about it, but I'm just never going to call myself that when I'm a liberal. I started out being a liberal, and just because the terminology changed, because the Republicans have demonized the name liberal, I'm not going there. I'm never going there. If you ask me my politics, I'm going to tell you, hey, I'm liberal. I'm liberal. In fact, that's the first thing I say. I'm a liberal Democrat. I am conservative on some fiscal matters, but basically, by and large, sociologically and all that, I am a liberal Democrat. I mean, you stop and think about it. Liberals got the women the right to vote. Liberals created Social Security and got millions and millions of elderly people out of poverty. They got African Americans the right to vote. Liberals ended segregation. They passed the Civil Rights Act. Created Medicare. Liberals passed the Clean Air Act, the Voting Rights Act, I guess I said that, and the Clean Water Act. What did conservatives do? They fought the liberals on every one of those issues, all of those issues have been great things for this republic. Every single one, and the conservatives fought against everyone. So when you want to try and trash me by throwing that label at me, liberal, with you know, your fangs showing and disdain by calling me a liberal as if it were something I need to be ashamed of, or something dirty, or something that a run from, which a lot of people have, it's not going to work with me, because I will wear that label for the rest of my life, and I wear it proudly that I'm a liberal. And I'm just not going to allow any damned conservative to try and demonize that name, because I'm not going to have it. But, you know, I've been looking a lot at the backgrounds of McCain and Palin and Obama and Joe Biden, all of them. And I really think that if we get this Palin-McCain ticket, and that's what it is right now, the Palin-McCain ticket, if we get that in the White House, we're going to have a couple of dingbats in there. I really believe the American people are dumb enough to put them in there. And if we get them in there, that's probably what the American people deserve. I'm just sorry I'm going to have to suffer over it too. But I think McCain's made it absolutely obvious that he's senile. And that this new choice for vice president proves it. Someone told me the other day that she's like the old I Love Lucy, Lucille Ball, with a gun. And you know, that's kind of right on the money. At first I thought maybe McCain was smarter than I thought. Maybe he knows that the American voter is going to be swayed because she's a woman, and she's young, she's pretty, kind of like in a dingbatty sort of way. Have you noticed all the time she's going, yep, yep. Typical American voter won't be influenced by the fact that she's a nobody with no experience and is utterly unprepared to assume the job of president if McCain should fall over dead. And as I mentioned earlier, in his first term, the likelihood is 10%, and if he should get a second term, it's 27%. High odds for some neophyte from Alaska becoming the president of the United States. Very high odds. Of course, the NRA is going to love her to death. They already do. She's the perfect replacement for Dick Cheney. He shoots lawyers in the face, and she's proven she can put a big old hole in a moose. All in all, I think this, the country in general and the Republican Party specifically has shown an enormous lack of caring for this nation to let either one of these jerks get to this point in the first place. I'm really surprised. I really am. So head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I would just like to say that I like to call myself liberal for one reason, mainly, is I prefer it because I want to restore its good name, you know.
Yeah,
I'm tired of it being a dirty word.
Absolutely. And that's what they've tried to do with it. And a lot of people have said, okay, we'll just call ourselves something else. Well, I'm not going there. not going to do it.
Yeah. And I can't really give you the details, but I'm just not going along with Candy Crowley. I've seen her too many times butter up to Bush. I've just seen that too many times. And I used to like her years ago, but I've just seen her butter him up too much.
She's been around a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years. There's a huge list of people I remember from the old days, but I can't, a lot of the new ones I don't know at all. But yeah, she's been around the block a time or two.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, you didn't get any big rains or anything off the storm up your way, did you?
Yeah.
Off this Ike?
I just, and then Eiffel, what's her name, Eiffel, she got too close to kind of Lisa Rice for me, too. I'm sorry, I just don't,
Oh, Gwen Eiffel. Yeah.
She's not as bad, but Candy Crowley, no.
Okay.
For me. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. You like who you like, and that's how it is. I got my opinions, too.
Yeah. I've seen her be too unfair and biased toward Bush many times.
Okay. We got one vote against Candy Crowley. I'm putting that on the electronic scoreboard right now.
Ask Mike Malloy what he thinks of her.
Mike?
He don't have any use for her either.
I haven't talked to Mike in a long time. Long time.
So anyway, that's basically what I wanted to say, and I'm sick of Sarah.
Yeah, I'm sick of her too. I've had enough. But I got a
feeling. Oh, by the way, last night Joy Behar was on Larry King show.
Yeah.
And they brought up that Elizabeth Hasselhoff has said that she went to the Republican.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, and she's all we get spent about the Republican convention, you know, when they're talking about anything. But anyway, on Larry King, they showed her saying that Sarah wasn't like some people in that had to have all their questions ahead of time because she had nothing to hide. And Larry King asked Joy, "Did she know what Elizabeth was talking about?" She said, "No." So, I told my son, I said, "You know, I think that they just say something; they don't care whether it's true or not."
That's right.
If they can get it to stick, they don't care. They just people say, "Well, I wonder who she was talking about."
Yeah, just keep throwing it, and some of it's going to stick. That's for sure.
Well, you know, she's a really right-wing hack.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. But anyway, I'll let you go. I'm not hearing too good on here or something.
Oh, okay. Thanks,
okay.
Thanks, Juanita. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. You take care.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
We had kind of a bad connection there, I think. Is that possible anymore? I don't know. 866-546-5254. I like to bring up every time I get a chance the shortcomings, and they are many, of Fox News. And what fantastic liars they are over there. And it amazes me. And the one that I find the most offensive, with my little run-in with him, especially at the convention recently, the most offensive is the weasel Hannity. I could even take O'Reilly before I could take Hannity. Because I believe Hannity is, well, I won't get started. But he's not a good human being. Not a good human being at all. So, although he wants us to all believe that he's a good church-going, upright Christian, good, solid Republican, conservative, loves America type guy. Well, there's no lengths these people won't go to smear Democrats, and there's no lie they won't tell on their network. So I ran across this subject that Hannity absolutely denied that anybody on Fox had said anything about Barack Obama being a Muslim. Hannity actually denied this. And so I thought, well, I know better than that. Everybody knows better than that. Anybody with any brains would know better than that. But then again, most of the people, many of the people that watch, that actually get their news from Fox News don't have too many brains. And they've proven that poll after poll has shown, I shouldn't say it in that respect, I've seen three polls that have shown that the least informed, the most ill-informed listeners of any news are the listeners of Fox News. It's been proven. It's a fact. So we have Sean Hannity saying that, why, no. Well, nobody on this network has said anything about Barack Obama being Muslim. No. Well, let's listen to a few of these little ditties. Here's Hannity himself.
Name any Republican on Fox who said that, number one, or any prominent member of the McCain campaign that says it, because this...
Now, he starts out saying any Republican or prominent member of the McCain campaign, but later on, he says anybody on Fox. Listen for it later on.
This guy keeps saying, oh, they're going to make fun of my name. They're going to say I'm a Muslim. They're going to say I don't look like the guys on the currency. Oh, and they're going to say he's black. He's using these words. Why does he want to create a victimhood on the second part of the question?
Well, I don't think he's playing the victim anymore, and I think Republicans are trying to play the victim with Sarah Palin. At the end of the day, Sean, this
why
race
is he saying those
Barack
things about? Why
Obama.
Is he saying these attacks are happening when they're not?
Sean, at the end of the day, this isn't about the surrogates for either campaign. It isn't about the
he's
trash
saying
people
it.
On the Republican
John McCain
side.
Said that John McCain did not go after him or accuse him of being a Muslim, which is what
neither
is
anyone
said
on
there.
Fox.
And
did you hear that? Neither has anyone on Fox. Let's see if we can just go back over that little piece right there. Sean Hannity says, neither has anyone on Fox.
Fox. And unfortunately, we didn't see the Fox part there, but you're right. Nobody, it's not a Fox thing, but...
It's not a Fox thing? Really? Well, does anybody know a guy on Fox named Steve Ducey? I've got another name for it, but I shall keep it to myself. Steve Ducey, guy on in the morning on Fox.
Why didn't anybody ever mention that man right there was raised and spent the first decade of his life raised by his Muslim father as a Muslim and was educated in a madrasa?
Now, I could be wrong, but that right there, coming from a guy on Fox, one of the morning anchor guys, Steve Ducey on Fox, I seem to think he just said Barack Obama was raised as a Muslim. Did he not? Yes. He did. You heard it right. Of course, Mr. Hannity said no one from Fox has ever said that. Let's go on.
We should also point out that Barack Obama's father is the one who gave him the middle name of Hussein. And the thing about the madrasa, and, you know, let's be honest about this. In the last number of years, madrasas have been, we've learned a lot about them. Financed by Saudis, they teach this Wahhabism, which... pretty much hates us. The big question is, was that on the curriculum back then? Probably not, but it was a madrasa, and the big question is whether or not any of these revelations about the fact that he was a Muslim, right now I understand he does go to he goes to the Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago, although not a regular parishioner, but raised as a Muslim, went to a madrasa. Is it ancient history, or do you think madrasa matters? Josh joins us from Colorado. Good morning to you, Josh.
What's up?
What do you think?
I think that ultimately this will probably be one of the main reasons he's not elected.
Just the fact that his father was a Muslim, he was raised as a Muslim for a while and went to a madrasa school in Jakarta.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That sounds an awful lot like to me, that they're trying, that Steve Ducey on Fox was calling Barack Obama Muslim. As we mentioned with John earlier, how can you say on the one hand that he's a Muslim and yet he attended this Methodist church in Chicago? That doesn't square now, does it? But Fox going all out there to smear him. And here's another one off of, you guessed it, Fox.
What else do we not know about Barack Obama?
There's kind of been a drip, drip, drip of stuff. His middle name, Hussein. Now the news that he was raised a Muslim.
Apparently, when he was a young boy, he attended a Muslim school, a madrasa.
This is huge.
He went to this madrasa for 4 years.
Went to a madrasa.
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 CNN did what any serious news organization is supposed to do. We have...
All right. One cut after another spliced together there. All of those from Fox News with the Wolf Blitzer on the end. I don't know how that got on there. But all of those references coming from Fox News. After Mr. Sean Hannity, great propagandist that he is, said that no one on Fox has ever said that. No one on Fox has ever said that. What is wrong with people on the right who listen to Sean Hannity or a Limbaugh or any of those people and hear them say things like that? Do you just take that as fact when Sean Hannity says that and you don't investigate it? You just think, well, that's the gospel. Because my man, Sean Hannity, said nobody on Fox has ever accused Barack Obama being a Muslim, when I just gave you a dozen examples where it's true. How many more are there that I haven't been able to give you? How can it be that somewhat intelligent, rational, reasonable people watch this network and take this news of Sean Hannity away from it and think it's true? How can that be? Why is that? Are there millions of people in the United States that only want to hear what backs up their opinion? Are they not willing to open their minds and let new information in? Are they not able to open their minds and understand that they've been lied to? I'm not talking about little white lies and all that. I'm talking about a massive propaganda effort by Fox News. I just don't know how they've gotten away with it. That's the thing. That's the point. How they gotten away with it. I don't know. I'm fascinated by that. I really am. I was a little fascinated by this, too. Any of you hear this? Meghan McCain on the morning show?
When you hear Barack Obama say something like, your dad doesn't get it.
Obviously, I disagree, but I'm biased. I'm his daughter. We share DNA, but obviously, I think my father gets it more than anyone. I mean, my family, I have two brothers serving in the military, one that's about to redeploy to Iraq. My father's obviously a famous war hero. No one knows what war is like other than my family, period.
No one knows what war is like other than my family, period. Meghan McCain, no one knows what war is like other than my family, period. Megan, I dare say the over 4,000 families of the troops that have been killed in Iraq in this illegal, immoral occupation of Iraq by the Bush administration and your father, by the way, with his wholehearted support for it, I dare say they know more about war than your father and your family. And those that have been killed in Afghanistan, I would say they know more about war than your father and your family. The famous war hero. Maybe we should talk a little more about this war hero stuff. Maybe we should dig underneath the covers just a little bit and bring forth some information, some more information that a lot of people just don't want to talk about. They don't want to face it, and we're going to do that tomorrow. They just don't want to face the facts. I guess it runs all through the family. No one knows about the war other than my father and our family. Oh, my God, what a thing to say. What a thing to say. Let's listen to a friend of John McCain's.
I went to the United States Naval Academy from 1957 to 1961, graduated. in the top quarter of my class. I was awarded 2 silver stars, 2 bronze stars, 2 legions of merit, and 2 purple hearts. I think I can say with authority that the prisoner of war experience is not a good prerequisite for a president of the United States. Hell, I'm 70 years old and I've lived through being a prisoner of war. I'm going to tell it like it is. Went to Vietnam in early 1965 for a combat cruise. Got shot down April the 20th of 1965 and was able to escape and evade after I was shot down at night for 4 days and nights, at which time I was captured and became prisoner of war. John McCain arrived in October of 1967, and so I was there 2.5 years before he was. The treatment changed in fall of 1969 when Ho Chi Minh died and a new group came into power who were pragmatists, and they stopped the nasty treatment for the most part. But John has allowed, I think, the media to make him out to be the POW, the hero. And in fact, there were over 600 just like him who performed just as well. The data show that the prisoner of war group are dying at an earlier age, and that we suffer lots of residual things that non-POW group really doesn't have to deal with. And it's imperative that we have someone who is healthy and can stand the rigors of that job. So I started having friends I play golf with and friends in other aspects in the community service that I'm involved in here in Monterey Peninsula, and family members, and everybody coming up to me and say, "Hey, you knew John McCain. What do you think of him?" Well, most of my experience with him was living across the hall from him, and he was well known by his own classmates and everybody that knew him as a very volatile guy, and he would blow up and go off like a Roman candle at any possible time. He was very sensitive and touchy and just easy to anger. The world is such a dangerous place, and he has shown himself already to be bellicose with regard to making other wars in other places, in Iraq and threatening Iran. And John McCain is not somebody that I would like to see with his finger near the red button. It has been very disappointing to watch him pander to his various political bases and change his stances on things. For example, even his stance on religion. I knew him many years ago, and John was very apathetic about religion. And now, all of a sudden, he's become an evangelical so that he can bring in that base. I'm very disappointed in that, because that's not the John McCain that I thought I knew at the Naval Academy, but obviously it's John McCain that exists today. John McCain's temperament makes it clear that he's not cut out to be President of the United States.
Do something.
Past 18, he was waiting for the bus, and his army green sat down in a booth. In the cafe there, gave his order to a girl with a bow in her hair. He's a little shy, so she gave him a smile, and he said, "Would you mind sitting down for a while and talking to me? I'm feeling a little low." She said, "I'm off in an hour, and I know where we can go." So they went down and they sat on the pier. He said, "I bet you got a boyfriend, but I don't care. I got no one to send a letter to. Would you mind if I sent one back here to you? I game. The Lord's Prayer said and the anthem sang. A man said, folks, would you bow your heads for a list of local Vietnam dead? Crying all alone under the stands was a piccolo player in the marching band, and one name read, and nobody really cared. But a pretty little girl with a bow in her head.
Welcome back. A little musical interlude there for you on the Guy James Show today. The chicks. Oh, I love the chicks. I do. And I know a lot of you do as well. I don't think anybody's ever gotten a more raw deal from the public and the press and the media and the right-wingers than the Dixie Chicks did there a few years back. They've shown that they were right. I defend them. I defend them now and defended them then when they criticized George W. Bush. They told the truth, and there's never, ever anything wrong with saying the truth. No matter whether you're in this country or another country, doesn't make any difference. The truth shall make you free. And wherever it is spoken doesn't make any difference at all. All this crap about the Dixie Chicks being in another country saying about it. Once again, the victimhood of the Republican Party, of these neocons. Victims, victims, victims. Why the Dixie Chicks single-handedly dealt a devastating blow to George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. We hear all this talk about personal responsibility. We hear all this talk about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. And yet, we have this current Republican Party victims. We're always the victims. It's everybody against us. Listen to us, all you evangelicals, all of you people, they're against us. Join with us. Band together, and we'll be safe against them. Them, the liberals, hate everything that the liberals stand for. Fight with us against the liberals, because the liberals are out to get us. Now, I would ask the question, and I always ask the question, we know what the Republicans are up to. We know what the neocons are up to. It is all about money. It is all about money. Yes, power, but power leads to money. Everything is motivated by money. You can see it, the privatization of everything that's going on in our government right now, the old Grover Norquist thing about drowning the government in a bathtub, making it small enough. They want to do that by privatizing it. A little at a time, cutting off one finger at a time and turning that entity over to one of their fat cat friends. We see more privatization in the government every day. Now, normally privatization would be a good thing, but not when it's handed out by politicians to their friends. And most intelligent people can see where all this privatization is leading. These people that deny that we need any government, they've tried to convince people that we don't need any government. They've preached against government. Ronald Reagan started it, really, preaching against government. The government is the enemy. Well, what a foolhardy thing that turned out to be. Mr. Reagan talking about government being the enemy. Government is not the enemy. Government can help people. People shouldn't depend on the government for everything. Certainly not. I agree with that. But we need government. We need good government. And we need responsible government. And we need government not motivated by taking all the money that they can get from the people and paying off their fat cat friends. And I could give you many instances of that, and I have on this program. And it looks like we're trying to get another pair of them in to do that right now. There are many stories, and there will be many stories coming up in days to come about Sarah Palin and all the nepotism that has taken place in Alaska. The hiring of her friends, her junior high classmates, and all that. She's taken to the state capitol with her. Somebody that she was in band with in junior high. All of her friends she's taken into the Alaskan government. And she talks about the good old boy network in Alaska. Well, maybe she started a good old girl network in Alaska. I don't know, but it sure seems she's got a lot of her lifelong pals working with her in the Alaskan government, along with some pretty damn interesting stories about some of them, and we'll elaborate on those tomorrow. And it has been the theme of this program the last couple of days to talk about whether or not this woman is qualified to be the president, both on an experience level and, I might add, on an ethical and a moral and an ideological level. Because she scares me. She scares me. I'd rather have Dan Quayle. Yes, I would. Dan Quayle at least wasn't scary. Stupid, but not scary. But this woman is sly as a fox. And let me just give you some of the quotes from this woman. If you don't think that she's a long way off the beaten path, on the vice presidency, let me quote her. This is, she was on CNBC's Kudlow and Company. She said, but as for that VP talk all the time, I'll tell you, I still can't answer that question. Now remember, this is somebody who is planning on being the next vice president of the United States now. I still can't answer that question until somebody answers for me what is it exactly that the vice president does. That's on Larry Kudlow and Company, July 31st of this year, on Iraq. She says, I've been so focused on state government, I haven't really focused much on the war in Iraq. I heard on the news about the new deployments, and while I support our president, Condoleezza Rice and the administration, I want to know that we have an exit plan in place. Let me ask you, Ms. Palin, a year and 6 months after you said this, do we have an exit plan? Does the man you're on the ticket with to be the president of the United States, does he have an exit plan? No. Still not. On June 8th of this year, in the Wasilla Assembly of God Church, the church she was raised in, pray for our military men and women who are striving to do what is right, also for this country, that our leaders, our national leaders, are sending American soldiers out on a task that is from God. That's what we have to make sure that we're praying for, that there is a plan, and that plan is God's plan. Hearing that statement alone, do you think this woman is qualified to be president of the United States? Do you think she has the mental faculties to be the president of the United States making a statement like that? I don't. On creationism, growing up With being so privileged and blessed to be given a lot of information on both sides of the subject, creationism and evolution has been a healthy foundation for me, but don't be afraid of information and let kids debate both sides. Let kids debate both sides. We could debate both sides of, well, it should be Porky Pig or Donald Duck. Let kids decide. Do you let kids decide what the curriculum should be in school? Do you let kids decide how to teach the curriculum in school, what it is they should learn and shouldn't learn? No, I think adults do that. We don't let kids decide whether it's going to be evolution or creationism. That's not in their pay grade. She said that on October 25th at the gubernatorial debate in 2006. In August 29th of this year, she said a changing environment will affect Alaska more than any other state because of our location. I'm not one, though, who would attribute it to being man-made. I also wanted to mention about this $40 billion pipeline that she brags about all the time, how she, and there's some place in here, her statements about praying for that. The state of Alaska is paying for this $40 billion pipeline. You know why? So that the oil companies can use it. Why would we have to build a pipeline at government expense, at the people's expense, at taxpayers' expense, for an oil company? Anybody want to answer that for me? With the spectacular profits they're making these days, why would any state agree to build a pipeline for an oil company? What's next? Are the oil companies going to ask us to pay, buy their tankers for them too? Their oil platforms? Their refineries? Why not just make it all taxpayer funded? Let them keep the profits. We'll take care of the expenses. Let them reap the profits. It's absurd. On June 8th, in the Wasilla, I keep saying Wasilla, it's kind of silly, the Wasilla Assembly of God Church, she said, I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built, so pray for that. Seems to me she's getting God and commerce mixed up quite a little bit here. I haven't read about that in the Bible. Forgive me. There must be a couple of books in there somewhere where they talk about econ in Ezekiel. Although I guess I missed it. The econ section in the Bible, I guess I've got a Bible that's not complete because it's not in there, in my Bible. Nothing about mixing companies and profit and gas lines and all that. On receiving $1.8 million in federal earmarks, something she says, oh, I'm against earmarks, for the city of Wasilla, said, for your information, this does not include our nearly $1 million from the feds for our airport paving project. We did well. Bragging about her earmarks. And on that bridge to nowhere, the question, would you continue state funding for the proposed Knik Arm and Gravina Island bridges? She said, yes. I would like to see Alaska's infrastructure projects built sooner rather than later. The window is now, while our congressional delegation is in a strong position to assist. Gee, that doesn't sound a whole lot like, I told the feds to keep their money, their bridge. If we want a bridge, we'll build it ourselves. I told them to, that bridge to nowhere, I told them that we didn't want it. Yeah. She did tell them that she didn't want it. After they told her she wasn't getting the money for it. And like I said earlier, that's a little bit like you getting fired at your job today and then telling your boss you quit. It's about the same thing. I don't want the bridge, since you've told me I'm not getting the money for it. On library books she doesn't like, she asked a librarian, Mary Ellen Emmons, what would your response be if I ask you to remove some books from the collection? This is the mayor of a town, of this ugly little town, asking the librarian about removing some books because the mayor didn't like them? And on the secessionist Alaskan Independent Party, part of her wonderful address that she made to them earlier this year. This is the party that wants to get Alaska out of the Union. Says your party plays an important role in our state politics. Keep up the good work and God bless you. She tried to get Ivana Trump to come to Alaska. And she was asked why by the Anchorage Daily News. And she said, well, we want to see Ivana because we're so desperate in Alaska for any semblance of glamour and culture. Ivana Trump. Okay. On running Wasilla, he said it's not rocket science. It's $6 million and 53 employees. On being governor, she said on December 4, 2006, I will unambiguously, steadfastly, and doggedly guard the interest of this great state as a mother naturally guards her own, like a southeast eagle and her eaglets, or more appropriately here in the Carlson, like a Nanook defending her cub. Well, isn't that special? And on the prospect of becoming a candidate for vice president, she said, it kind of cracks me up. It's so far out of the realm of possibility and reality. Well, those are all quotes by just the adorable new candidate for vice president of the United States. John McCain's political spouse, I guess you would say. That's the way they're trying to make it look, is it not? Trying to make them look like a couple. And you see him up there making those phony speeches day after day after day. Same speech over and over and over again. God, it's sickening. Really is. Anyway, I want to thank you for listening today. It's good to have all of you along with us. We'll be back tomorrow with another program. Same time, same place, and all that. Don't forget, Billy Shears is the music director of The Guy James Show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, and do remember, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Tomorrow, gang.